I would like to thank Hugues and Alain for the invitation. It's really a pleasure to be here to discuss the role of HCV blood vessels in cancer. For cancer, immunotherapy is really a revolution for cancer treatment, and as discussed by Caroline Robert this morning, the combination of antibodies against PD-1 and CTLA-4 immune checkpoint molecules has shown impressive efficacy for treatment of metastatic melanoma patients. However, the treatment does not work for all patients, and it does not work for all tumor types. Therefore, there is a need for a better understanding of the mechanism of cancer immunotherapy with these antibodies. One of the critical steps for anti-tumor immunity and cancer immunotherapy is infiltration of T cells into tumor. This is a critical step because if the T cells do not enter tumor, they cannot encounter the tumor cell and they cannot destroy the tumor. Therefore, this is critical. However, this is a poorly characterized step in the cancer immunity cycle. Therefore, we ask the question whether there are specialized tumor blood vessels that mediate the entry of lymphocytes into tumor. And today I'm going to show you that the answer is yes. And these specialized tumor blood vessels are called tumor-associated high endothelial venules. And I will show that these tumor-associated high endothelial venules mediate lymphocyte entry into tumor during cancer immunotherapy and predict the response of metastatic melanoma patients that were treated with PD-1 plus CTLA-4 combination immunotherapy. Therefore, first, what are high endothelial venules? What are HCVs? These are, in normal conditions, these are specialized blood vessels for lymphocyte entry into lymphoid organs, such as the lymph nodes, the tonsils, the Peyer's patch. They are characterized by the plump cuboidal morphology of the endothelial cells that line this HCV blood vessel that is very different from the classical flat morphology of endothelial cells from regular blood vessels. These HCV endothelial cells express high level of sulfated molecules recognized by the HCV specific antibody MECA79. This is a functional marker of the HCV endothelial cell phenotype. The most important characteristic of this vessel is their unique capacity to capture lymphocytes circulating into the blood. And it was shown already in the 60s by Sir James Gowans and colleagues. When they injected radioactive lymphocyte intravenously in the rat, they observed this lymphocyte leave the blood and enter into the lymph node at the level of the HCV blood vessel. Therefore, these are really the portals of entry for lymphocyte into lymphoid organs such as the lymph node. More recently, Professor Elie von Adrian at Harvard Medical School developed the intravital microscopy technique to visualize the interaction of lymphocytes, these are the white dots, fluorescent lymphocytes, with HCV blood vessels in vivo in real time in a live mouse. This is an HCV blood vessel, these are non-HCV blood vessels in the lymph node. You can see the lymphocytes interact specifically with the HCV blood vessels. Some lymphocytes interact transiently with the vessel, it's the rolling step. Other lymphocytes are arrested. This is a sticking step. It is now well established by many groups over the past 30 years that the recruitment of lymphocytes for HCVs is a multi-step adhesion cascade. The initial rolling interaction that I show you, the sticking, then the lymphocytes that are arrested can crawl at the surface of the HCV endothelium looking for potential exit ramps. And when they find these exit ramps, they transmigrate between the endothelial cell and enter into the lymph node. The most important step for the specificity and efficacy of the whole process is the initial interaction, the initial capture of the lymphocyte, the tethering and rolling step. It is mediated by the lymphocyte homing receptor, L-selectin, CD62L, that recognizes at the surface of HCV endothelial cells a family of HCV sialomucins that are recognized by the HCV-specific antibody MECA79. These include in mouse glycam-1, CD34, endomucins. These are glycosylated, sulfated proteins that are decorated with the 6-sulfo-CLE6 motif. This is a complex oligosaccharide, and what is critical is the sulfate motif, and there is an HCV enzyme called CHST4 sulfotransferase that is critical, and also a fucose is essential, and there is an HCV enzyme that is called fucosyl transferase T7 that is also essential. I have a long-standing interest for the study of HCVs, almost 30 years now. I started to study this HCV endothelial cell when I was a postdoc with Professor Tim Springer at Harvard Medical School. I developed the first protocol to isolate HCV endothelial cells from lymphoid organs, human tonsils, mouse lymph nodes, and I show that the HCV phenotype is very plastic. The cells rapidly dedifferentiate. For instance, they lose MECA17 antigens when they are placed ex vivo outside their natural lymphoid tissue microenvironment. Therefore, high plasticity of this phenotype. And with the freshly isolated HIV and other cells, my team discovered a number of novel human genes from these freshly isolated cells. And probably the most famous of these genes is the one encoding cytokine interleukin 33, IL-33, that we discovered initially 20 years ago as a nuclear factor of HIV. And it is also expressed in endothelial cells from blood vessels in other organs. We tested 50 different human tissues, and it's found in all blood vessels in the body. It is also found in epithelial cells from barrier tissues and also some fibroblasts, such as the FRCs in the lymph node. And we show it functions as an alarm signal, a so-called alarming cytokine, that is released from the producing cell upon tissue injury to alert immune cells of the tissue damage. Many cells involved in type 2, type 1, and regulatory response express the receptor for IL-33. However, this cytokine is really critical for innate immunity and allergic inflammation, particularly asthma, because the genes encoding IL-33 and its receptor have been reproducibly identified as major susceptibility loci among the top 4 or 5 loci in all genome-wide association studies of asthma. And recently, we showed that the IL-33 protein itself can be regulated directly by allergens, by protease secreted by allergens that cleave the protein and generate highly active form of the cytokine. But today, I'm going to concentrate on our work on HIV endothelial cells. Oops, sorry. 10 years ago, we showed that the phenotype and the function of HIV endothelial cells are controlled by CD11C positive dendritic cells. We depleted dendritic cells in vivo, and we observed a very specific regulation of the HIV phenotype with downregulation of the genes that are essential for the initial capture of lymphocytes, including HIV serumucin glycam-1 and the critical HIV enzyme fucosyltransferase and sulfotransferase. Other classical endothelial cell markers were not affected, and the chemokine or ICAM-1 were not affected. Very specific regulation of the HIV phenotype by disease, and the consequence of this regulation... Oh, the film is not working. Sorry. Yeah, here we go. We were surprised because we still observe lymphocyte rolling in the absence of the disease. However, we found that the rolling speed was increased and the lymphocyte rolled too rapidly, and they have no time to send the chemokine that is still expressed at the surface of the HIV. Therefore, they cannot arrest, they cannot transmigrate, and we found a profound inhibition of lymphocyte recruitment, lymphocyte homing in the lymph node in the absence of the disease. The blood vessels are still there, but the phenotype is modified. They are no longer able to recruit efficiently the lymphocytes. 10 years ago, we made another important discovery. We observed the frequent presence of HIV-like blood vessels that now we call tumor-associated HIVs that express high level of the HIV-specific molecule recognized by MECA79. As I mentioned, this is a functional marker. It recognizes the same proteins that are recognized by the lymphocyte. And this marker was highly expressed in this vessel in breast cancer, melanoma, ovarian cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer. In breast cancer, we found these vessels were present in 60 to 70% of the samples. The number of these vessels was highly variable depending on the tumor, depending on the patient. When these vessels, tumor-associated HIVs, MECA17 positive blood vessels were present, this was always associated with massive lymphocyte infiltration, T-cells, CD3 positive, a lot of cytotoxic CD8 positive T-cells, and also some CD20 positive B-cells. And in breast cancer, we found that the presence of this blood vessel was associated with good clinical outcome for the patients. We made very similar observation in human melanoma. This is collaborative studies with Toulouse Cancer Institute, Institut Claudius Rego. You can see the tumor-associated HIVs that express the MECA17 antigens. And again, these vessels are associated with lymphocyte infiltration in melanoma tumor, a lot of cytotoxic CD8 T-cells, and a few B-cells also. And similar to breast cancer, we found that the presence of this vessel was associated with good clinical characteristics in melanoma, such as a low breast low thickness and a low Clark level of invasion. In both melanoma and the breast cancer, we found that the presence of this tumor-associated HIV correlated with the presence of cluster of dendritic cells expressing the DC-LAMP marker. This is shown here, for instance, in tumor with high number of disease, identity of tumor associated HEVs in melanoma, the same in breast cancer, very good correlation between the number of HEVs and the number of these DCLM positive DC clusters. We found that the disease in breast tumor express the lymphotoxin beta ligand for the lymphotoxin beta receptor that is critical for maintaining the differentiation of HEVs in lymph node. I forgot to mention on the other slide, which showed previously that this is a critical pathway for regulation of the HEV phenotype in lymph node. And we believe in human tumor, this pathway may also be active. Okay, all these studies were performed in human. For in human, you can only do correlation. So we propose, based on our observation, that these tumor-associated HEVs may function as the major gateways for lymphocyte entry into the tumor. This was 10 years ago, but to really prove it, you need to develop mouse preclinical model to really perform functional experiment. And this is what we did. We developed several mouse tumor models. This is the MCAPROC fibrosarcoma tumor model that we obtained from Robert Schreiber. In this model, we detected the presence of tumor-associated HEVs that express the MECA79 HEV-specific epitope, and these vessels were associated with infiltration by CD8-positive T cells. These are the red signals in different areas of the tumor, most often in the periphery of the tumor. This is in the fibrosarcoma tumor model. We made similar observation in other tumor models, CT26 colon carcinoma and polyoma middle T mammary carcinoma, and we use these three different models because they use also different genetic backgrounds. Okay, first, we characterize more precisely the phenotype of the tumor-associated HEVs by single cell RNA seq. Therefore, we isolated these cells, and we compare the phenotype of the tumor-associated HEV, this is a light blue, to the counterparts in homeostatic lymph node in blue and inflamed lymph node in red. And in green, these are the non-HEV lymph node endothelial cells, and in gray, the non-HEV tumor-associated endothelial cells. We found the tumor-associated HEV endothelial cells similar to their counterparts in lymph node express many markers characteristic of postcapillary venule endothelium. So clearly, they derive from the postcapillary venule of the tumors. In addition, the tumor-associated HEV endothelial cells also express markers characteristic of inflamed endothelium, particularly the endothelial selectin, E-selectin, and P-selectin, similar to their counterparts in inflamed lymph node, but different from their counterparts in homeostatic lymph node. We found also that tumor-associated HEVs express different genes important for the synthesis of the MECA79 positive HEV cell of mucin, including CD34, endomucin, and several of the important enzymes. We confirmed the expression of the endothelial selectin at the surface of HEV endothelial cell by different techniques. E-selectin co-expressed with MECA79 in the tumor-associated HEVs, similar to the HEVs in inflamed lymph node, but E-selectin is not found in homeostatic lymph node HEVs. And this is the P-selectin, and you can see the P-selectin, the highest level of expression are really found on the tumor-associated HEVs compared to non-HEV tumor endothelial cell, and we made similar observation for E-selectin, and we made similar observation in the three different models that we use. Therefore, we believe this tumor-associated HEVs correspond to the most inflamed postcapillary venule of tumors, and they have a unique bifunctional hybrid phenotype because they co-express the MECA79 antigens that are important for the capture of lymphocytes expressing L-selectin, CD62L, but they also express endothelial E and P-selectin, the major sites of expression in the tumor, that are important for the capture of lymphocytes that do not express L-selectin, but that express PSGL1. We perform homing assay to look at the recruitment short-term homing assay. We prepare fluorescent lymphocytes from tumor-bearing mice. We injected these lymphocytes intravenously, and after 1 hour, we analyzed the recruitment of these lymphocytes in tumors and lymph nodes. And we analyzed the phenotype of these lymphocytes using CD62L and CD44 to look at naive central memory and effector memory T cells. In the lymph node, when we analyze the phenotype, as expected, we observe recruitment of naive lymphocyte and central memory lymphocyte, and very few effector memory lymphocyte, as expected for the role of HEVs in lymph node. In contrast, in the tumor, we observe recruitment of different T cell subset with naive central memory and effector memory phenotypes. Therefore, the tumor-associated HEVs are associated with infiltration of different subset of T cells. Then we look at the impact of cancer immunotherapy with anti-CTLA-4 and anti-PD-1 antibody on the frequency of the tumor-associated HIV endothelial cells, MECA79 positive endothelial cells. And we found that CTLA-4, when used alone, can increase the frequency of this vessel in the tumor, but not the PD-1. And this increase in tumor-associated HIV is associated with increased infiltration by CD4 and CD8 T cells, including proliferating CD4 and CD8 T cells, and CD4 and CD8 T cells able to produce interferon gamma upon re-stimulation. We made a similar observation when we combined the two antibodies, CTLA-4 and PD-1. We observed this increase in the tumor-associated HIVs. We also observe an increase in the expression of the MECA79 antigen. This is important because it means the maturation of this vessel is increased, more ligands for the lymphocyte L-selectin. And this was associated again with infiltration by CD8 and CD4 T cells, proliferating CD8 and CD4 T cells. And for the CD4, we observe an increase of both the FOXP3 negative and the FOXP3 CD4 positive Treg. Therefore, in our model, the treatment was not associated with the depletion of Treg with the CTLA-4 antibodies that we use. However, we observe an increase in the ratio of CD4 to Treg and CD8 to Treg. Then we analyze the infiltration of tumor-reactive PD-1 positive CD8 T cells. It has been shown by many groups that this comprise different subsets, the stem-like or progenitor-exhausted CD8 T cells that express TCF1 that can self-renew and differentiate into cells with effector properties, and the terminal-exhausted CD8 T cells that derive from the stem-like CD8 T cells and are highly differentiated tumor-specific T cells. And it has been shown that the stem-like TCF1 positive CD8 T cells are essential for immunity against cancer and also response to cancer immunotherapy. Therefore, we look at this subset. To detect this subset, we use the markers defined by the group of Arlen Sharp at Harvard, the stem-like SLAMF6 positive TIM3 negative cells, and the terminally exhausted SLAMF6 negative TIM3 positive cells. Therefore, with the single monotherapy, CTLA-4 and PD-1, when we observe this increase in the tumor-associated HIV, this was associated with an increase in both the stem-like and the terminally exhausted CD8 T-cell subset. And the same with the combined immunotherapy, increase of tumor-associated HIVs, increase stem-like, and increase terminally exhausted CD8 T-cells. When we block the lymphocyte trafficking from the periphery with an inhibitor of lymphocyte egress from the lymph node, we observe that the increase of stem-like and terminally exhausted T cells that is observed after immune checkpoint blockade was completely prevented. It means that this increase necessitates the continuous recruitment of lymphocytes into tumor. And we observe that the number of stem-like CD8 T cells in the tumor was higher in tumor containing high number of tumor-associated HIVs compared to tumor containing low number of tumor-associated HIVs. Okay, then we develop in vivo imaging approach to really look at the function of the tumor-associated HIVs in lymphocyte recruitment. We use in vivo labeling in real time with the fluorescent antibody MECA79, a low amount of the antibody to avoid the blocking activity. And with this procedure, we can distinguish the tumor-associated HIVs that express the MECA79 antigen from the non-HIV blood vessels that are negative. And then we can look at the behavior of lymphocytes in these vessels and determine whether these vessels are functional for lymphocyte recruitment, determine whether, if they are functional, whether the lymphocytes use a multi-step adhesion cascade similar to the procedure they use in lymph node. And importantly, what is the role of these tumor-associated HIVs and the importance of this vessel versus the other tumor blood vessels? Very important question. This is first wide-field intravital microscopy. This is in real time. This is similar to what I show you for the lymph node. This is a tumor-associated HIV. You can see some lymphocytes that are arrested, sticking cells, and other lymphocytes that are in the process of rolling along the vessel wall. These are the rolling cells. Maybe this one you will see, or this one. Therefore, this is in a tumor, fibrosarcoma tumor treated with combined antibodies, CTLA-4 and PD-1. So clearly, these vessels are functional for the capture of lymphocytes in vivo. Then we quantified this data, the number of sticking lymphocytes, the number of rolling lymphocytes. I forgot to mention, we also measure the diameter of this vessel. It's about 40 micrometer. This is very similar to the diameter of order 3 HEVs in lymph node. And this is consistent with the identity of this vessel as post-capillary venule. This is the size of post-capillary venule. And there is no influence of the immunotherapy on the diameter of these vessels. Well, we quantified the rolling cells. We found that most of the rolling events occur in the tumor-associated HEVs, MECA17-positive blood vessel, few rolling events in the non-HEV blood vessel. We measure the rolling velocity also of the lymphocyte. It is more rapid than in lymph node. And when we block the two critical adhesion pathways, CD62L that recognizes the MECA79-positive HEV cell homocysteine and PSGL1 that recognizes endothelial and P-selectin, we prevented most of the rolling events in the tumor-associated HEVs. When we look at the sticking, the arrest of the lymphocyte, this is essential for the next step of transmigration. All the sticking occurs in the tumor-associated HEVs, MECA79-positive tumor blood vessel. No sticking in the non-HEV blood vessel. These experiments were performed with lymphocyte and recipient mice that were both treated with immunotherapy, combined immunotherapy. However, when we perform experiment in the absence of treatment, we observed that the vessel was already functional. They mediated the capture of the lymphocyte, the rolling, and the sticking of the lymphocyte. Therefore, it is important because these vessels are functional already at baseline, before the initiation of immunotherapy. We performed similar experiments in the two other tumor models. I show you the result in the fibrosarcoma model. In the colon carcinoma model, we observed some rolling in the non-HEV blood vessel, where more rolling in the tumor-associated HEVs, and almost all the sticking events occur in the tumor-associated HEVs. In the polyoma middle T mammary carcinoma model, strikingly, all the rolling and sticking events occur exclusively in the tumor-associated HEVs, MECA79-positive blood vessel. So we conclude that tumor-associated HEVs are the main site of lymphocyte arrest into tumor treated with combined immune checkpoint blockade therapy. Then we analyze the later step of the recruitment cascade, crawling, and extravasation. You can see this lymphocyte that just arrested is going to transmigrate for this tumor-associated HEVs and enter into the tumor and then is looking for the tumor cells. So clearly, these tumor-associated HEVs are functional, they mediate lymphocyte arrest and lymphocyte extravasation into the tumor, and this is a tumor again treated with combined immunotherapy, CTLA-4 and PD-1 antibody. Next, we perform similar experiment in the other tumor models. This is in the colon carcinoma model, CT26. This is a tumor-associated HEVs. You can see all these lymphocytes that extravasate for this blood vessel. And this is a non-HEV blood vessel. You can see that all the trafficking occurs in the tumor-associated HEVs, MECA17-positive blood vessel. And this is similar in the polyoma middle T model. This is extravasation of the lymphocyte in the tumor-associated HEV. This is a non-HEV blood vessel. You can see that all the trafficking occur in the tumor-associated HEV blood vessel. So we conclude that tumor-associated HEVs are the major sites of lymphocyte entry into tumor treated with combined immunotherapy. Then we perform additional functional experiments. First, we determine the impact of immune checkpoint blockade on lymphocyte homing to the tumor. These are short-term homing assays because we want to analyze the first step of lymphocyte recruitment. Therefore, we injected the fluorescent lymphocyte and we observe increased homing about twofold increase after immune checkpoint blockade. This is consistent with the increase in the frequency of the tumor-associated HEVs that we observe after immune checkpoint blockade. Then we try to block the entry of lymphocytes for the tumor-associated HEVs by blocking the two critical adhesion pathways, CD62L and PSGL1 antibody. And what we found that this treatment completely prevents the increase of lymphocytes, both CD8 and CD4 T cells, that is observed after immune checkpoint blockade in many different tumor models, but also in human patients. For this increase, again, necessitates the continuous recruitment, continuous trafficking of lymphocytes and their entry into tumor for the tumor-associated HEVs using this critical adhesion pathway. Then we analyze clinical samples, human clinical samples, to look at the relevance of our data in the clinics. This is a collaborative study with Professor Caroline Robert at Gustave Roussy. We analyzed a cohort of about 93 metastatic melanoma patients, most of them stage 4, a few stage 3 also, that were treated with an anti-PD-1 antibody, nivolumab or pembrolizumab, as a single agent or in combination with the anti-CTLA-4 antibody, ipilimumab. For both types of therapies, we observe some metastatic melanoma lesions with high number of tumor associated HIVs, MECA17 positive. This is a patient treated with combined anti-CTLA-4 and TPD1 antibody, and is associated with lymphocyte infiltration. And this is a patient treated with PD1 as a single agent, and you can see also the many tumor associated HIVs. Therefore, we quantify, and what we found that in metastatic lesion containing high number of tumor associated HIVs, the survival of the patient, overall survival and progression-free survival was increased, and also the response to treatment. However, when we analyzed separately the patients that received combined immunotherapy and PD-1 monotherapy, we are surprised because we found that the tumor-associated HIVs were highly predictive of the response of the overall survival and progression-free survival and the response to treatment of the patient that received the combination anti-PD-1 and anti-CTLA-4, but the tumor-associated HIV score did not predict at all the overall survival, progression-free survival, or response of the patient that received the anti-PD-1 antibody as a single agent. Okay, therefore, tumor-associated HIVs are the major sites of lymphocyte entering into tumor. They can predict response to immunotherapy with anti-CTLA-4, anti-PD-1 antibody. It is very important to develop methods in order to increase the number, the frequency of these vessels, and also their maturity. What we observe in our single-cell NSX studies is that the tumor-associated HIVs have a very immature HIV phenotype compared to the lymph node HIVs. And what we found 10 years ago is that the dendritic cell stimulates the HIVs and maintains the mature HIV phenotype in lymph node by signaling for the lymphotoxin beta receptor because they express the lymphotoxin alpha beta ligand for this receptor. In tumor-associated HIVs, the receptor is expressed. However, the downstream genes are not expressed or poorly expressed. Therefore, we saw that maybe this receptor is not stimulated. Therefore, we use an agonist antibody of this receptor, and treatment with this agonist antibody was sufficient to increase the frequency of the tumor-associated HIV endothelial cell, also the number of the cells, and the maturity, the expression of the MECA17 antigens. And interestingly, this treatment resulted in an increased proportion of stem-like CD8 T-cells into the tumor, and an increased ratio of stem-like to terminally exhausted CD8 T-cells. And these two parameters have previously been shown to be associated with positive response to immunotherapy in metastatic melanoma cancer patients. Then we combine this agonist antibody against the lymphotoxin beta receptor that induce tumor-associated HIVs with anti-CTLA-4 and TPD1 antibodies. Therefore, this triple therapy, we observe strong increase in the proportion of tumor-associated HIVs in the tumor microvasculature, increased expression of MECA17 antigens, increased expression of HIV-specific genes such as glycam-1, FUCT7 that are controlled by this lymphotoxin beta receptor pathway. By histology, the HIV, tumor-associated HIVs, the endothelial cell looks more cuboidal, plump, very similar to HIVs in lymph node. In contrast, normally they are more flat in the tumor. And in this tumor model, the MCR-PROG, the combined immunotherapy, CTLA-4 and PD-1, inhibits tumor growth but does not induce tumor regression. But when we add the antibodies that stimulate the tumor-associated HIV, now we can start to see regression of the tumor in the mice. Okay, to summarize my talk, I show you today that tumor-associated HIVs are the major site of lymphocyte entry into tumor during cancer immunity and immunotherapy in three different mouse models, different genetic backgrounds. I show you that tumor-associated HIV endothelial cells have a unique bifunctional hybrid phenotype. They co-express the MECA17 antigens that are important for the binding of lymphocytes expressing L-selectin, but they also express endothelial E and P-selectin, the highest level in the tumor, that are important for the binding of lymphocytes that express PSGL1. I show you, using different imaging techniques, that tumor-associated HIVs are the main site of lymphocyte arrest and extravasation into tumors that were treated with combined immunotherapy. I show you that tumor-associated HIVs predict the response and survival of metastatic melanoma patients that were treated with combined immunotherapy, CTLA-4 and PD-1. And I show you that increasing the differentiation of tumor-associated HIVs increase the proportion of stem-like CD8 T-cells and the efficacy of combined immunotherapy. To conclude, it is well established that tumor angiogenesis facilitates tumor growth because the new blood vessels bring oxygen and nutrients to the tumor cells, and generally tumor angiogenesis is associated with bad clinical prognosis. However, 10 years ago, we introduced a novel concept in cancer biology, is the fact that all the blood vessels in the tumor microenvironment are not equivalent, and some specific subset of blood vessels, so-called tumor-associated HEVs, actually are good blood vessels that contribute to the fight against cancer, and by allowing the recruitment of large number of lymphocytes into the tumor. For, as I mentioned, it is very important to develop methods in order to increase the frequency of these vessels and also their maturity, their functionality, in order to improve the efficacy of cancer immunotherapy with immune checkpoint blockade, but also other forms of cancer immunotherapy with CAR T-cell and also other forms of cancer therapy. With this, I would like to thank all the people who did the work in my team, particularly the young PhD student and postdoc. We had 4 PhD students and 1 postdoc co-first author of our recent cancer cell paper. I thank also our collaborator in the clinics with Professor Caroline Robert, the technological facilities in Toulouse, and also our financial sponsor. I thank you for your attention. I'm ready to take your questions.